You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's time for the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill. Local sports, national sports. The G-Cat is on it.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Now, settle up for a tall glass of sports talk. Here's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hola, amigos. It is the 19th of March. It's Gus Kattengill at GCAT underscore 17 is the way to give a follow for myself over on X. If you would like to do so for the station at ESPN Radio, NOLA is the way to do so as well. It is game day for your New Orleans Pelicans as they get ready to take on Brooklyn in the first of four games on the road. It's Tuesday, scheduled to join us. Handful of coaches in from around the area. Starting things out will be Jay Oman, head coach of the Tulane Green Wave. Blake Dean will join us at 12:15. Mike Silva coming up at 12:30 for the Colonels and UNO Privateers. So we'll chat with them. Got a lot to get into. Chase Young, he is your newest member of the New Orleans Saints defense. The big news coming right after the show wrapped up. He is a former first-round pick from Ohio State that, you know, hey, has some skins on the wall, was with San Francisco a year ago. And more than anything else, I think a lot of Saints fans look at it as, could it be a prove-it deal? And we'll see if it's something that he feels here as well. So I got some sound from Chase from yesterday when he met with the local media here as well, as the Saints look to continue to add and build through free agency and eventually hear the draft coming up here in a little bit. So we'll touch on that, as well as yesterday the Pelicans had a practice before they went to Brooklyn, and they got a full practice from Dyson Daniels. I'll play what Coach and Dyson had to say about him working his way back, and I don't even know how to get into this here. We'll talk about it with Christian Clark coming up at 1:05 as he is in Brooklyn. Sean Fazan will join us at 2:05. The effects and what Chase Young and his addition to the Saints will mean for some of the players that are already there here as well, as we will get into that and more. So that's the show, 800-998-1003 on the Reuterman caller and guest line, reutermancan.com, the website to go check out those services, 262-8222, the phone line. Hour one is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing on the Gulf Coast, kayaks, you need them as well. That's the place, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie, nowakeoutfitters.com. The website will be there April 12th for our first remote over there. Looking forward to that. So it is Tuesday, as we said. That's the show. It's set up for you, buddy. We'll take your phone calls in the LaRose Studios, 12:45, our first open segment. Coach Mike Silver, bottom of the hour, Blake Dean next segment. But as always on Tuesdays, we like to lead off with head coach Jay Oman of the Tulane Green Wave. As always, appreciate the time. Sir, good afternoon to you. How are you?
Hey, Gus, I'm doing great. You?
Doing well, man. An absolutely gorgeous day. It was blustery last night, sir, when you guys played a little baseball over there at Greenfield Church and Stadium. The good news, though, you guys get the win. You have a series weekend win over Pepperdine as well. So all in all, how do you guys sort of feel? How do you feel about your team as you get ready to start conference play this weekend at Rice?
Yeah, we had a real quality win, I think, over one of the best offenses in the country last night at home. And I don't think you could have picked the ball up and hit it four times and still hit it out of the park last night. It was that windy. But, you know, we got some timely hitting. We got a big bunt, drag bunt by our best hitter, Brady Marget, to score the extended lead, 2-0 in the eighth. And we hung on and beat a really good team. And so real proud of the effort there in really difficult conditions. And but, yeah, I think, you know, moving forward into league, we feel pretty good about the pieces that we have. Feel really good about, you know, our starting pitching has shored up pretty nicely with still room for improvement. And then our bullpen, just the ability to have pieces back there on different days, be able to up and close out and give guys different looks has really been a has really been a bright spot for us. So I feel like we're in a good position as we roll in there. We've got five new teams that, you know, we know about, but we haven't played them in a good amount of years. So it's setting up for a pretty fun ride here in the conference. I think it's going to be last year I thought the conference was down. This year I think it has the opportunity to rebound some this year. So looking forward to the challenge for sure.
Coach, a week ago when we spoke, you guys were getting ready to take on Southeastern Louisiana, and we talked about some one-run games and trying to find ways to win that. Had a couple one-run games in extra innings against the Cajuns. Lost that Tuesday 8-7 in a one-run game. Was it important to get that win against Pepperdine over the weekend 3-2?
Yeah, I think it was, and it's like one of those things. Like when you lose the kind of games that we did the way we did, mm-hmm. Sometimes you're not just going to come out and, you know, bust out, you know, a 15-run victory. Sometimes the game makes you earn those things. And, you know, we got a big homer from Brady Marget in the seventh, and then we closed it out. So in a rain delay that was really pretty messy, two different because in the action and when we came back, shades of East Carolina on us last year just in reverse right. For us. Jacob Moore was on the mound. We had bases loaded. He had just walked a guy in a torrential downpour. We got everything cleared out, and then the first pitch back resuming play was a 6-4-3 double play, and we went on to win the game. So, it was big. One-run games are huge, you know, and to be able to win those and learn from, past examples, whether positive or negative, are always important for growth. So I think, you know, we're showing some growth and development that way.
Because of the weather, just like Friday, you had to play a little bit earlier, 11 a.m. You do get the win 7-3, which clinched the series win. Saturday, you had a doubleheader, and then that second game, you lose 6-4. What was Saturday like for you?
Another long one, you know, but the other team had to sit, you know, through all the same things that we did, and so you can't use that as an excuse. You certainly want to, you know, the expectation is to sweep when you got a team in the corner. But, I will give Pepperdine credit for what their record is. They didn't just roll over and not show up. And, you know, they had tough travel, and they could have had the Bourbon Street flu, so to speak. And they showed up and competed well enough, right? You know, so mm-hmm. To be able to, get the series, you know, we'll take 15 series wins throughout the year. That means you're winning baseball. So,
right.
Winning series are great. With sweeping when you have a chance, those are big, record turners too. So, we would have liked to get that. But, the thing that was really neat is that, you know, game three, we walked, it was a close game, and then we walked, bases loaded twice. I think it was the only runs the bullpen gave up all weekend, mm-hmm. To put us down instead of one, put us down three. And then we got two quick outs, and then we scratched a run and got the bases loaded with Brady Marget up. The winning run was standing at first. The tying run was standing at second, and he grounded out the second base. But for us to be able to fight back and be in position to tie or win the game with our best hitter at the plate was I was proud of them for that. And I think too, you know, I looked up in the stands and nobody left. You know, it was a long day, and the fans didn't leave after the two walks, and when they expanded their lead to three runs. And I told the guys after the game, that's a tribute to their character and their grit and toughness, yeah. Because those people stayed in the stands thinking that they thought we were going to win too, you know? So that, mm-hmm. That was a pretty cool feeling as a coach.
And obviously last night you kind of mentioned it, the weather was interesting with the wind there, but that's kind of one of those easy game plans to the guys on the mound, right? You got to throw strikes, because when you have like that, it's almost like an extra defender, right? The thing that could hurt you on that is walks, and you get five innings from Michael Lombardi, who starts, he gets six strikeouts, then Henry comes in, he gets three strikeouts. So that kind of tells me you guys were peppering the plate.
Yeah, no doubt, and you said it exactly right. That was my message to the team before the game. On that end of the coin, the pitching part is just, you know, poured in there, because you could use the elements in the park to our advantage, and from an offensive standpoint, our home run our home runs in that game were going to be a 6-hole home run or a 4-hole ground ball home run. That the ground ball or the low line drive was going to be a home run for the night. And ironically, Jackson Lynn had a 6-hole base hit on the ground that scored our first run, and then Brady Marget drag bun in the final run. So it was one of those kind of nights. I was proud of the offense, certainly proud of the pitching and defense. We were outstanding on the mound and on defense. We made shoot in one inning. We basically fielded for the cycle. It was a 4-3, a 5-3, and a 6-3. So we played really excellent defense and pitched it at a high level for a team that doesn't strike out. I think we struck them out 11 times, limited them to 3 hits, and they may have had their, I'm a little facetious, but they may have had their season total in strikeouts in one night last night, and right. Our guys just were terrific.
All right, you kind of touched on it a little bit here, speaking with Jay Ullman, head coach of the Tulane Green Wave. Rice, one of the teams that you hadn't faced, yeah, obviously, in conference because they came in. Well, what's the 4-1-1 on them? What kind of baseball team do they have?
Yeah, if you look at the record, they're scuffling in terms of that. They beat Houston Christian this past weekend, and they've scheduled double midweek today and tomorrow against Houston before they face us. So, they typically use about 11 or 12 pitchers. So, their 3 starters are formidable. They go with a guy, Parker Smith, who's one of the better pitchers in our league. And on Saturday, they have a left-hander transfer from Tennessee who's, he gives some guys some fits. And right. And then they kind of go an opener on Sunday and run another guy out there for 4 or 5 innings. So, getting in their bullpen and trying to, continue to pitch the way we're pitching and matching up and getting good starts is going to be critical. But, I think just playing our brand of baseball and going in there and, getting off to a good start on Friday will be important. It's going to be tough because, again, Parker Smith, he's going to be a stiff drink for us to get after. So we're gonna have our hands full with him on Friday.
We touched on it earlier in the season, Coach, about getting a good start and getting as many games as you can under your belt here at home in Uptown this weekend series. And then a week from today, you'll be at Southern Miss. So a couple of road games here. You think some of those games, even though it was in state, like we talked about with UL, just getting that taste of what it's going to be like, even though you have guys that played on the road, but it's a different season, right? Yep. Just kind of getting that taste and understanding that. And I know a lot of times coaches kind of look at these road trips as it's a chance to come together, you eat together, you hang out together, you hear the opposing crowd, you kind of want to get tested a little bit here.
Yeah, no doubt. When you play at home a lot, the difference there is you have a home routine. You're in your own bed. You got your weight room. You've got an hour in your clubhouse while the other team's taking BP, and mm-hmm. you just the lay of the land, the smells, the sights, the sounds, and then you go on the road, and the other team's hitting BP. Then you take it, and you got to hurry and do an infield outfield, and then you got to play. It's a different kind of routine, and when you don't have guys that are that aren't familiar with that kind of routine, sometimes it can it's not a reason to win or lose a game. It's just different. And so for us to be able to get up to UL and have that kind of environment, there won't be that kind of environment at Rice. I think they've had some lean years here where the fan base has kind of gone in a different direction, but maybe the old Green Wave rolling back into town will rekindle some memories and bring some more people to the park. But again, it's never about the people at the park or the other people in the other dugout. It's always right. about how we handle our business.
Yeah, no doubt. At Rice on Friday, 6:30, Saturday, 2 o'clock, Sunday, 1 o'clock. Safe travels to Houston, Coach. As always, appreciate the time you give us on Tuesdays. And next Tuesday, hopefully, we'll be chatting about a series win and getting ready for an interesting matchup against Southern Miss.
That'd be awesome. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
Yep, for sure. Go give Tulane a follow on the Athletic website, TulaneGreenWave.com. GreenWave BSB is the way to follow over there on X. So Tulane, 13-8 on the season. Get ready for conference play. That is their next game. Their midweek game came yesterday in a 2-0 victory. Hour one brought to you by No Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing on the Gulf Coast. Go check them out online, NoWakeOutfitters.com. Coming up next on the Rooter Man guest line, Blake Dean, head coach of the UNO Privateers. We're off and running on an absolutely gorgeous Tuesday in New Orleans. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
Welcome to No Wake Outfitters, located in Metairie, just east of Causeway Boulevard. Your one-stop fly shop, kayak, and sportsman outfitters. You can check out our new kayak demos and our new pool and sea casting demonstrations. We have a new selection of functional and comfortable apparel from your favorite brands for the cooler weather. And our dedicated staff is here and ready to provide you with the knowledge to make an informed purchase. Come on in to check out some of our exclusive brands, such as Rugged Road, Turtle Box, Orvis, New Canoe, Old Town, and oh yeah, New Canoe 2022 kayaks are now 20% off. No Wake Outfitters, 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie.
In school sports, it's easy to see the wins, the moments that make headlines. But there's so much work that goes unseen for any of it to happen. My name is Phil Risen, and I'm the executive director of the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association. Throughout the country, athletic administrators dedicate countless hours to making life-changing opportunities possible for student-athletes through sports. Their sacrifice is fueled by the belief that every student can grow and deserves their time to shine. On behalf of the NIAAA, we want to thank every athletic administrator for your tireless dedication to providing 7.8 million students across the country a path to a better future.
This message presented by the NIAAA, the National Interscholastic Athletic Administrators Association.
Lakeview Massage and Therapy is a must for recovery, getting rid of pesky pain, or to simply relax. It's part of Upper Cervical Family Chiropractic and Wellness, so this isn't a neon sign place. They have specialists performing work geared specifically to you. Rejuvenate with a 60, 90, or 120-minute session of Himalayan salt stone, injury and recovery, lymphatic detox, pre- and postnatal, post-mastectomy movement, traditional therapeutic massages, and ashiatsu. I've had that. You want to try it. Trust me. LakeviewMassageandTherapy.com for info where recovery meets relaxation.
ESPN Bet is now live in Louisiana. As the official sports book of ESPN, ESPN Bet is the only place to find daily exclusives and offers with your favorite ESPN personalities and shows. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. That's ESPN Bet. Download today. What a play. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in partnership with LaBerge Lake Charles. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Come on, citizen!
What are you waiting for?
Pick up the phone.
We want you to be on the show.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengaff.
So thanks as always when the coaches give us a little bit of their time here on Tuesdays. Talk a little college baseball. You know how important it is. Mr. Blake Dean, head coach of the UNO Privateers, joins us. Sir, how are you?
Doing good. How you guys doing?
Doing well, man. We just spoke with Jay Ullman, and he had a play last night with that wind. You're already on the lakefront. You already experienced some wind. The weather's been interesting, huh, as we get closer and get ready for conference action this weekend, man. What do you feel your team is as we get ready for conference weekend coming up at Nichols?
I think we're still trying to figure out the pieces and get healthy. I mean, that's our biggest problem. We're all over the place from a health standpoint. It's like, as soon as we get an arm back, we lose one. So we're just trying to get everything going and get on the same page and try to be a little more consistent.
Is that kind of what, when I look at you guys lose last Friday at home, 5-4, one-run game. You win Saturday, the first of a doubleheader. Obviously, the weather affects that, 6-1. And you lose the second half, 12-2. Is that where depth kind of goes into effect, that we have to play double headers, change things of that nature?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think that, you know, in most years, I don't know many teams that want to play double headers. You know, like you said, the weather's kind of just been all over the place from, you know, cold to rain to more rain to, I mean, it's kind of been all over. But, you know, you got to figure out how to make it work and get through it.
All right, so when you take a look back at that series against Memphis, what stood out to you on the positive side of things as the guys that maybe stood out to you?
We got Bryce Callaway back. He's an arm that we've been missing. You know, we threw him in a doubleheader game and a tie ball game in the, you know, the eighth and ninth inning right there. And first time stepping on a Division I collegiate mound. I mean, we were out of bullets and went with him and did a really good job extending Nate Plasek as well on the mound. So, you know, hopefully Callaway can stay healthy. He can help us and be another
part of the pin, you know, moving forward to where we can have some more depth. Again, with all the guys we keep losing and, you know, just aren't where they need to be, we got to have some people step up.
Got Jackson State tomorrow, then you will be taking on the Colonels over in Thibodaux over the weekend. So I guess what's the message to the guys this week as we get ready for conference play? What do you want to see?
Again, just be aggressive, be confident. You know, I got into our hitters a little bit on Friday. They responded very well on the doubleheader day Saturday. Came out and did a really good job. They just needed a little extra motivation, I guess. So we gave them a little motivation. They started swinging the bats a little bit better. You know, but I just want to see our guys just make the routine plays, be consistent, be tough, and just fight. When you get down, fight back. When you're up, put teams away. Again, I would probably say the things that most coaches want to see from their guys, but we just got to be more consistent with it.
Confidence is an interesting thing when it comes to baseball. I don't know any sport. Confident players kind of do that. I know a lot of times confidence comes from kind of, you know, knowing the playbook and things like that when it comes to football, basketball, and comfortableness. In baseball, Coach, is it just innings played and just being in those situations? Is that where confidence can come, or just as simple as a good at-bat?
Yeah, I think it comes from many things, right? I think today, you know, it comes from belief in me. Like, we got so many new guys that, you know, these guys know that if they don't produce, I'm going to snatch him out of the lineup, you know. So it's a little extra pressure there to perform, to get the job done. And then also from an individual standpoint, I think it's, you know, when I was in a slump when I was playing, I always remember that a home run kind of got me going again. It relaxed me, you know, it calmed me down, let me know, okay, you didn't forget how to hit. same thing with these guys. You know, Mitch Sanford has kind of been struggling a little bit. Then he goes off on Saturday and hits two-run homers. It ties the game, and, you know, oh, there's our guy. He's back. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's just a little bit of belief in themselves and a little bit less pressure. Hopefully we'll get some of these guys going.
What do you think about the conference as you guys get ready to go into conference play when you take a broad overview as to where everybody's at?
I think it's tough as hell. That's what I tell people. I said, this conference is tough. I mean, you know, people, you look up, Nichols is what, I don't know, won 17, 8, or however many games they've won, you know, Incarnate Word, Will Davis over at Lamar. You know, Southeastern has beat East Carolina and Fullerton. I mean, the list goes on and on. People just disvalue this. I mean, if you look at it, the Southland has went through and wrecked the Sun Belt this year. Just absolutely tore them up. You know, I tell people, give the South some credit where it's due. Yeah. So it's a tough, tough conference. And, well, again, it's a dogfight all the way to the end every year.
As you mentioned, A&M Corpus Christi has 10 wins, Southeastern 14, UIW 13, Nichols 17, Lamar 15. You're right there with 9 wins as well. And I guess it's the old, how did you hear from coaches, right? You take one series at a time, one game at a time, and at this point just want to see your team kind of grow and kind of do what you guys did last year, right? Just be peaking around the conference tournament time, have your stuff together, get healthier, like you guys are saying, and make a run.
Yeah. I mean, again, it's a marathon. It's not a sprint. So I tell our guys all the time. But again, at the same time, you don't want to fall so far back into the pack that you can't sprint to the front when you need to.
Right.
You know. So we've just got to be a little more consistent. I keep using that word and kind of get this thing going a little bit. And we're dealing with a lot of new pieces, not a lot of new players. You know. And we just got to figure out how to do this thing. And I'll take the blame too that our schedule was a gauntlet. It was tough. You know, I was anticipating a few of our guys that got snatched up in the portal to return. And, you know, you look up and, I mean, heck, I don't think we've played but one team the entire season that had a losing record. So it's a tough schedule, you know. But I hope it makes us better for it in the end.
Yep, no doubt. Coach, tomorrow you got a game against Jackson State. What's the main thing you want to see tomorrow? Is that just to try to build some confidence, get a W, and then head out on the road?
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, Jackson State is having a really good year. I mean, I think, again, they've only lost maybe 5 games the entire year. They're sneaky good. They've always been able to hit. You know, obviously, we're not going to see their weekend arms, but sure. a very good opponent. But we've just got to get some confidence to go and have a breakout game at the plate because by no means will we be able to use our arms that we need to line up for the weekend. Now it's go time, and we got to have those guys fresh and ready for Friday.
All right, Coach, good luck tomorrow. Good luck over the weekend. As always, appreciate the time you give us on Tuesdays. Follow UNO Baseball over on X at Privateers BSB, and, of course, over on the Athletic website, UNOPrivateers.com. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate the time, Blake.
Yep, no problem. Thank you.
Yep, for sure. Before we take our bottom of the hour break here, and again, coming up, Mike Silva of the Colonels, give me a chance to kind of just touch on some things that just blew my mind today. I don't know if the word went out. I don't know if it's just the obvious that you're seeing. And I'm talking about your New Orleans Pelicans as they get ready to take on Brooklyn tonight. The Nets, 26-42. They're 28 games out of first place. Your Pelicans, still in fifth. They didn't get any help yesterday. The Kings won. There's some other teams, one that you would have seen lose. But look, here's where you are. 41-26. And one of the things that was interesting was I saw Christian Clark tweet this earlier today. And we're going to talk to him coming up at the top of next hour. The Pelicans are going for 42 wins tonight. It would match their total wins, number of wins last season. 15 games to go, including this one. Jim Eichenhofer this morning on the Pelicans podcast was telling me they can go 9-6 and reach the 50-win total mark. Now, New Orleans has had consecutive winning seasons once in franchise history. Once. 07-08, 56-26, great year. Remember that. 08-09, it went 49-33. So, we are, and I've been saying this, in uncharted territory. And I say uncharted because even when you looked at those teams in that CP Me, you know, year where he came up, he became the runner-up to Kobe Bryant in the Western Conference and they were second. And that was, I mean, it was amazing. You thought it was going to be one of the youngest. It was the youngest up-and-coming team and all that. And then they made some moves that just scratched your head. There goes Tyson Chandler. They went the Crescent City Connection. You brought in Bonzi. It didn't work out. Chris Paul left, got a chance to get AD, took forever to get to the postseason, did that with Drew Holiday, swept the Blazers, faced the Warriors during their prime when they were winning championships. And then it's been a bit. And then you get a chance again at potentially a top player, hoping to be a franchise player, and things have happened. There's no other way to look at it, right? He had to mature a bit, grow up a bit. Injuries took place, trying to put together a team around him. But, you know, he didn't play all of last calendar season at the second half of that year. So going into this year, they change, the Pelicans do. How are they going to do things internally, medically, all those different things, challenging players to do that as well. Maybe it got to a handful of those players. Maybe it needed a situation where you had that happen in the play-in tournament, the beating by the Lakers, the players-only meeting. The reason I'm getting to that is, since then, the last 48 hours, I'm watching the Pat McAfee show right now, they're talking about Zion. They're talking about the Pelicans. They're showing the before and after pictures. He's lost 25 pounds per Ryan Windhorst. Look, our eyes have seen it. We've seen that he's locked in. He has Kendrick Perkins on right now. And literally in the last 48 hours, it kind of started last week over the weekend, but yesterday and today, it's almost like I'm wiping my eyes. You know, I'm grabbing the backs of my index finger knuckles and wiping my tear ducts. I'm like, am I seeing what I'm seeing? Because it's pretty incredible. It's show after show, not only rightfully giving credit to where they are, because they've earned that. And I would argue, and I've said this throughout the season, they're a better team now than they were when they were in first place in the Western Conference, when Zion was healthy and playing at an MVP level. They did not have as tough a Western Conference as you have now. Oh, by the way, again, the team at the very bottom of the standings is Victor Wembanyama, and he's pretty good. So, look, the Memphis Grizzlies would be different if they had Ja Morant. They're 23-46, 25 games out. The Jazz have given you, you know, some fits. The Rockets are not an easy game to win. And there's Golden State, the Lakers, Phoenix, and Dallas, 7, 8, 9, and 10, all chock full of stars. Sacramento, their rise last year, you saw that come. The Clippers have three Hall of Famers. The Nuggets are the defending champs, a half game back. Anthony Edwards is baby Jordan. I love what that guy is doing over there. And Oklahoma City is still in first place with an unbelievably young team. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is an MVP candidate. Chet Holmgren's the real deal. That's where the Pelicans are. It's harder the Western Conference. And to see where they are right now and getting it done, it's pretty cool to kind of see. Coming up at 12:45, when I have the time, I'm going to play a clip from First Take. I'm going to play a clip from the Screamin' A Show, which is his own separate radio show after First Take. And again, I'm watching right now the Pat McAfee Show, and Kendrick Perkins is talking Pelicans basketball. All I'm going to say is this. I never, ever would have thought this early, because, again, they haven't played in the postseason. But I'm just telling you this, Pels fans. Just enjoy it like I did last year when I said it, and still in first place when the Pels were in first place to enjoy it. You got, for all the people that say no one talks about New Orleans, I'm going to play some clips coming up at 12:45 that used NBA Finals and New Orleans Pelicans in the same sentence. I'm not saying that's what's happening, but it's crazy. Right? That's where they are. So let's see what takes place. Mike Silva of the Colonels joins us next. It's the Sports Hangover at ESPN New Orleans.
They say that once you give him control, he'll own your brain forever. Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Got a ton to get into coming up in 15 minutes. I'll play some of that sound nationally. Everyone wants to be on board. The Pelicans bandwagon, we'll touch on that. I got Chase Young sound. Newest member to your Saints defensive line. We got so much to get into. Should be fun. But it is Tuesday, which means we're talking college baseball as well. Spoke with Jay Ullman at the top of the hour of the Tulane Green Wave. Blake Dean a segment ago. Time now to talk Colonels baseball with Mike Silva. Thank you, as always, for your time on this Tuesday. Sir, how are you?
I'm great, Gus. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So last week we touched base on Tuesday. You were taking on Dillard. You've been playing a lot of baseball, and now you're getting ready to head on out for a road trip over in Lincoln, Nebraska to take on the Cornhuskers. And you get swept in the weekend. Close one-run game, 7-6 there, 16-0 on Saturday, and then on Sunday, 11-4. When you look back at it on the flight home and you kind of have a sec to look at that weekend, what do you think took place?
Well, I thought we played a really good team that was really well coached. It was really tough and disciplined. You know, Friday night was a really good game back and forth. And then Saturday kind of got away from us. We walked bases loaded and walked in around the first to get a grand slam and then came out. We were behind early, so we kind of had a punt on that one and try to save some guys for Sunday. Sunday, I thought we played really well, really. I mean, I thought we threw the ball really well. I think that's just one of those days where it just kind of didn't go our way. But I think it was good for – I mean – I think it was good for us. We needed to take some humble pie. I mean, I've been telling our guys that we haven't been doing some of the little things good for the last 4 weeks, but when you're sweeping every weekend, you know, they don't really listen as much as you'd like for them to. And our kids are prideful, and I think they got their feelings hurt a little bit this weekend, and they're going to be fired up and ready to go. And we needed some humble pie leading into this week with Louisiana Tech on Wednesday and then starting conference. I think it was actually really good for us. So we'll have a good practice today, and we'll be ready to go tomorrow night against Louisiana Tech.
Coach Dean of UNO said a segment ago he needed to provide a little motivation to some of his hitters. I was just talking about the Pelicans and maybe that that loss to the Lakers in the play-in game, which was pretty embarrassing, kind of woke some players up as well. It just happens in sports sometimes, right? Coach, I wouldn't say comfortableness sometimes, but just to feel that challenge. You need to feel a little challenge every now and then, don't you?
Yeah, you got to get beat up sometimes and a reminder how hard it is to win games. Sometimes you're cruising along and everything's going your way. You start to believe maybe that you're better than you are, which is a good thing and a bad thing if you forget kind of how you got there. And so we got a gritty bunch that's really prideful, and I'm not really down on my team at all. Actually, I think it was good for us. I mean, I wasn't really disappointed on the plane ride home. Obviously, you want to win, but I thought we needed to get beat up a little bit and have an opportunity to kind of look in the mirror and really focus on the things we have to improve on before we get to conference play. And a lot of those things got exposed, and now it's about how you respond. We tell our players all the time, life's 20% what happens to you, 80% how you respond to it. Yeah. So we'll find out what we're made of over the next week or so, because we did face adversity for the first time this season.
And I was going to say that, Coach, isn't that kind of what you try to do when you plan even next year's schedule, things like that? You want to find out about your team, and every year is different, right? Sometimes you have a lot of veterans. Sometimes you have some guys that it's going to be their first time being given a ball on a weekend or facing adversity and things of that nature. And that's kind of what you want as you get ready for conference play in what Coach Dean just called a tough-as-hell Southland Conference.
Yeah, it's really good, man. We open up with him. We had battles last year, and I'm sure it's going to be an absolute, you know, it's going to be fun, but it's going to be stressful. That's for sure. That weekend, like, everybody's going to be ready for us.
And mm-hmm. and that's one of the things I think was unique going to Nebraska. They were ready for us. It was a big series for them, and they wanted to prove they were better than we were, and then they proved it. And I don't think our players were really quite ready for that. At times mm-hmm. we go into environments like that and sneak up on people, and maybe they'd be sleepwalking for the first four or five innings. We're not getting that anymore from anybody.
Right.
So I think it was a real rude awakening for us, but in a good way, you know. And like I said, I think we needed it. And because, look, UNO is going to be coming in here ready to beat us, and Tech's coming in on Wednesday night ready. And we're not sneaking up on people anymore. So getting comfortable kind of in that situation, really understanding how to stay locked in and keep that intensity level where it needs to be, and really just the attention to detail. Like I said, I thought that we'd been lacking in some areas over the last few weeks, but,
sure.
you know, it's hard to really get them to focus on it because we've been winning. And so, you know, the only reason you look yourself in the mirror, and the Southland Conference, as Coach Dean said, it is tough to tell, and it's gritty, and it's going to be a lot of fun, but it's going to be a wild one, that's for sure.
Speak with head coach Mike Silva. This is why I love having you guys on to kind of go through the season. It is hard to believe. I literally was doing something earlier this morning, and I wrote down today's date. I'm like, it's the 19th already? I'm like, where did the month go? And here we are at conference play. So as we get ready for conference play this weekend, I've been asking everybody on the show today just overall thoughts. When you look at the Southland, you look at your team, you have your answers, your questions, you kind of feel where you are right now, you're comfortable with your team?
Yeah, I like our team. I mean, I don't think it's going to be easy by any means. I think sure. it's going to be just like last year. I think it's going to come down to the last weekend with a whole bunch of people jumbled up. I just have too much respect for the coaches and the other teams. You know, Blake does a great job at New Orleans, and really Bobby at Southeastern's got it going over there. And so, yeah, I mean, I think really the thing that's going to separate the league, I really think, is just people who can win on the road. And I think that's what kind of was last year, too. If you can find ways to win games on the road, I think you're going to be in the middle of this thing down the stretch. And you got to take care of business at home, but you always have to do that. And so I think everybody's good. I think teams are better. I think they're grittier. I think they're more well-coached even than they were a year ago watching them on video. And so, yeah, I like our team. I trust our team. Our guys will be ready. And I think that's one of the things that gives me confidence going to bed at night. It's really important to our young men. I think they'll be ready to go this weekend.
Final thing for you, Coach. You said you're going to have a good practice, confident in that. And it's probably not a bad thing to play a team that you're very familiar with, Louisiana Tech, before you get into conference play. You know they're going to be playing some good ball.
Yeah, and Lane and Mitch and Cooper and those guys, they do a great job. And look, they're going to be ready for us too. So they got LSU tonight. They'll be at our place tomorrow night. And it'll be fun. It's always great to see them. Those guys mean so much to me. And Lane and I have such a great relationship, and I'm always going to be indebted for him for the opportunity that he gave me. And so just to get to spend some time before the game and catch up and visit about the families and just life, really, is going to be really enjoyable. And then to hook it up and play against really good competition is always fun. So I think we'll have a good environment. I think our fans are excited for the night, and I think that we'll carry that momentum hopefully into the weekend.
Yeah, next four contests will be over there in Thibodaux, folks, 6:30 tomorrow night against Louisiana Tech, and then the UNO series to open up Southland Conference play Friday at 6:30, Saturday at 6:30, and then Sunday, the 1 p.m. matinee. Coaches, always appreciate the time. Good luck. Can't wait to talk next Tuesday, see what's going on.
Thanks, Gus. Appreciate you.
Bye. I appreciate it so much. GoKernels.com. is the way to check them out on the Athletic website, Nichols BSB, the way to do so over there on Twitter. Okay, our thanks to Jay Ullman, Blake Dean, and head coach Mike Silva of the Colonels, the Privateers, and the way we do that every Tuesday. Love to kind of follow those programs along and kind of see how the season progresses, and it's crazy. Everybody's starting conference play. LSU started conference play this past weekend as they get back into action tonight, taking on Louisiana Tech. They host Florida this weekend. We'll catch up with Chris Blair coming up here towards the end of the week to preview that series, possibly on Friday. It'll give me a quick second, though, to kind of start the transition here to what we want to talk about. It's crazy. Zion has been playing out of his mind. We've all seen that. We've talked about that. There's certain things that that stood out as well. Look, obviously, the national folks are going to focus on his body. They're going to focus on his play statistically and things of that nature. I brought up yesterday, I thought the thing that really stood out to me is what C.J. McCollum said about his performance and getting back to playing like, you know, C.J. McCollum. And this is what he had to say after the game on Saturday, which he knocked down you know, some threes, started looking like CJ again, 30 points.
Yeah, I've had a lackluster couple weeks of just missing open shots and just not playing at a high level that I hold myself to. And just getting back to the lab, working on my craft and watching film, figuring out how I can, you know, be efficient and assertive. Z pulled me to the side after the game against during the game against the Clippers. Like, I just need you to be aggressive. I need you to be Portland CJ. I need you to
score.
He's like, I need you to score. I need you to shoot. He's like, we'll facilitate. You got to shoot. And I was like, all right. Say no more. I got you, bro. So just trying to be aggressive, trying to pick my spots. And I think, you know, we got a lot of talented guys, a lot of guys who create gravity in terms of, you know, double teams. B.I.'s getting double. Z's getting double. Team is always aware of them. JV gets double, you know what I mean? So just trying to pick my spots and be aggressive. And I think some of it was just me missing shots, and then some of it was just me not being aggressive or assertive enough. I think tonight I got back to the basics and played better.
That you heard, that was Zion in the background saying, score, you know, and do that. The whole demeanor has changed, right? We touched on that. Look, I brought it up. I wasn't trying to make fun of him, but again, part of my job is to observe. I would probably say it's a skill that I sort of have. I read body language, what people say, trying to deduce what's going on in there. We, you know, did that with Kamara when he would, you know, hey, we need to be coached a certain way and things of that nature, which kind of told you what the environment in that locker room is. And sure enough, end of the season, you hear that. We need a culture change, right? Anyway, so I brought it up at the beginning of the season. His answers were like 2-3 words. And then, early on in the season, I want to say it was probably before the meeting called by Larry Nance Jr. right after the beating from the Lakers and the Mavericks. But you remember the soundbite of Zion saying that he was taking a backseat to being a leader, backseat to leading the team and things of that nature. And he brought up because he said he wasn't there yet physically, so it was hard for him to do that. And I didn't pile on him. I actually give him credit for that. So often in today's world and in our sports environment, I almost feel like we do expect too much. And what I mean by that is this. I'm not even just saying him, right? We literally expect sometimes, because perhaps McAfee and Screamin' A and all these shows that have to fill time, are you allowed to miss an open receiver? Can you miss an open three? Can you lose a game in November and not be called, you know, lack of identity, being failed, trade this? I mean, it is kind of crazy. And they absolutely follow that on social media. And I thought, and I said at the time, it was a sign of maturity, even though it sounded like weakness or it sounded like somebody not trying to step up, realizing where you are. And I've always said this before. I teach it to my 7-year-old. I say, Carver, it's okay to fail. That's how you know to succeed. What didn't work so you can make it work. And a lot of times, we all want the best job, the high-paying job, the whatever. But maybe sometimes it is okay. Take a step back, reassess, see what you need to do. And that's what I took at when he was saying that. That's probably not easy to say in front of a microphone, much less personally, or a locker room, or to a friend, I need help, or not there yet, right? So when you look at that, that really stood out to me. That was him saying, look, it's not there yet. We have leaders on this team. These guys can be that, deferring to it. So often, players that are selected number one or just high in their particular sport, the pressure for them to succeed and lead and be the guy is so much, they force it. And I want to play something where we get back of his answer to someone bringing that up on Saturday. And we'll hear what they're saying nationally about your Pelicans as they get ready to take on the Nets tonight, 6:30 Central Time, as they are in the East Coast taking on Brooklyn. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.
He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
800-998-1003, the Ruderman Hotline. And guest line as well, RuderManCan.com. Go check them out online, 262 here as well, as Hour 1 is brought to you by No Wake Outfitters. Buddy, we'll take your phone calls over to LaRose Studios. I mean, literally, I can't believe my eyes. I can't believe my ears. The national media is talking about the Pelicans in a manner that we all have been dreaming about. But I want to play this quick bite from Zion. And it was his response to being asked, hey, you remember that day that you said you were taking a back seat in leadership? A back seat on this team. Are you still doing that?
I wasn't where I needed to be. I talked to CJ and I talked to B.I. about it at the beginning of the season. And, you know, CJ definitely stepped up. I don't think he gets enough credit for that, especially early in the season. CJ really stepped up for this team. B.I. is B.I. Like, I don't even got to talk about how great B.I. is. But CJ really stepped up for this team early in the season and even halfway, just being a leader and just having a huge impact on the game. While I was stacking my days and getting to where I needed to be. And like I said, over time, my coaches and my teammates, they saw it and they trusted me. And they're continuously trusting me. So I got to give CJ's respect on that and B.I.
And look, I would throw in Herb Jones in there too. You remember earlier in the season, Coach Willie Green and others said, hey, Herb is a captain on this team. This guy's a leader. We want him to be more vocal and things of that nature. And I thought they... And look, I don't know if he's going to get credit for that, but it is something that we have said, maybe that's a reason why this is a stronger team than the previous iterations of it, even with Van Gundy and, you know, other coaches, and Coach Gentry, in that it was about Zion, building around him, expecting him to sort of be that person and leading that. And I felt like, when I feel like when I watched this team this year, even though they didn't have the start that you would have liked, win total wise compared to last year, I kept saying, I think this team looks better. I think this team is deeper. And we touched on the depth and things of that nature. But I think you have more people better in their roles, understanding in their roles. We touched on it with Graf yesterday. Brandon Ingram's growth as an overall basketball player and leader. Maybe he's not the vocal guy that you sort of see, but you hear every player talk about it with him, or about him, rather. You see his desire to dish the ball, to get rebounds, to play defense, and not it's just about the numbers. And I'm not saying that was always his guy or his thing. I'm just saying that in today's day and age, and in the NBA, that is not easy. It is not easy to hear the number one overall player go, hey, look, you guys right now, I'm not there yet. I don't feel ready to do that. I need you guys to help here. And conversely, to have his teammates be like, we got you, rather than this guy. You know what I'm saying? Because that would be easy to do, right? I'm like, oh, you're not ready, huh? Well, why don't you get in shape? Or, well, you're the guy on the side of the arena. You know, and that's never been the case with this team. And I think it's interesting. Here's what he had to say back on Saturday after the game about where he is athletically.
Just stacking my days. Trying not to do everything at once. Just taking it day by day and just over time, just seeing the results.
Coach Green?
Quite frankly, whatever he decides to do on the floor, when he's right, he can do it. And the rebounding is another component to that. He's going up, you guys are watching, getting offensive rebounds, getting second chance points, defensive rebounds, igniting our break. He's playing really good basketball right now.
Yeah, diving on the floor, being emotional, understanding, and playing through, not getting calls. And I like it. Graf said it a couple of times in a broadcast. He's gotten teed up. He's taking more ownership, more control on the floor, and he's starting to look like the best player. So, all that said, coincidentally, let's start with the show Undisputed. Good old Skip. Keyshawn Johnson, Paul Pierce, now part of the round table to give, I guess, the basketball element to it. Michael Irvin's a part of the show still here as well. Here's their discussion on Zion.
They got a good young head coach. He can really coach it.
Willie Green?
Yep. And they listen and respond to him. and that Herb Jones can flat out defend anybody, any place, mm-hmm. any time, and Alvarez comes off the bench and just creates havoc.
That would be Alvarado, by the way.
The point is on Zion. I think he finally got shamed into this. I think through social media and just media in general, he finally got shamed into, okay, because here's the truth about life. I don't care what you say, you are what you eat. You just are. Whatever you put in your mouth, you can do all the exercise in the world, but if you put the wrong things in your mouth and swallow them, you won't be able to defeat it and overcome it. And I heard too many stories going back 2-3 years ago. He was ordering and eating full pizzas in the locker room after games. You just can't keep getting away with it. You go out and you run up and down the floor and then you eat a whole pizza. Your body can't overcome it. You can't do enough cardio to defeat an entire large, extra large pizza. So he's figured it out because the proof is in the pudding. He doesn't eat. You just look at that. I'm with you. I could see 25 pounds because I think he was 320, 330. And now he looks like an athlete to me because he is an athlete. He is a supremely gifted force of nature of an athlete. When he is right, people cannot keep him from the rim, which is why he's already set records in this league for percentage of scoring, because it's just hard to keep him. He's going to make 60% of his shots. And that will work over time. If you can just keep doing that, it's hard to beat that.
Well, this is why New Orleans decided to say, yeah, we'll give him the check.
We will.
Because everybody was like, well, they should trade him.
Yeah.
They're like, no, we're not going to trade this dude. Right. Even though he wasn't playing at the time that they gave him that extension, they said to themselves, he's such a talent, and when he's on the floor, look at his numbers and look at the numbers. He's capable of doing.
And he's only 6'6"-ish. He's not. It's not height; it's girth and strength. He's a wrecking ball.
All right. So that's undisputed. The Fox Show: Skip Bayless, Paul Pierce, Keyshawn Johnson. Y'all ready? I'm just saying. Get ready. Screaming A. It's been going back and forth. The Pels social media page has been great. This was Stephen A. last night, or yesterday afternoon, on the Stephen A. Show, which is his podcast, radio show, what have you. This is after First Take yesterday.
Zion Williamson, have you seen him? The brother's averaging nearly 24-7. They're winning basketball games. They're the number one team defensively with efficiency. They're one of the very few teams, five teams in the NBA, that are both top 11 in offensive and defensive efficiency. Okay? They've been winning basketball games, and they've been beating everybody up while they've been doing it. The New Orleans Pelicans are being led by Zion Williamson, who's playing like a number one overall pick. Much props, much loves to him. We're going to see what he does as the playoffs approach. They've got C.J. McCollum on there. They've got Brandon Ingram on there. They've got Valanciunas on there. They've got Herbert Jones on there. They've got size. They've got athleticism. They've got perimeter shooting. They got veteran leadership. They got a man-child in Zion Williamson who looks stealth, like he lost weight. He stayed off the...
There you go.
Stakes. He ain't hiding food under his bed or anything like that from the team. The brother's focused. And that Zion Williamson, I got news for you. The New Orleans Pelicans could go to the finals. I'm not saying they're doing that. I'm not saying they're better than Denver. I'm saying they've been playing exceptionally well, and they have all the pieces in place to make a run. We cannot ignore that. We got to give props where it's due, because Stephen A. is a fair-minded individual. And I would never, ever allow my personal disgust with people who tried to troll me to camouflage reality. Reality is New Orleans can beat anybody. Anybody. Or they could lose to anybody if they ain't focused. Acknowledging as much is the fair and righteous thing to do. And if I'm nothing else, I am fair.
There it is. Screaming A. So that was yesterday. This morning on First Take.
I'm rolling with J.J. Redick on this. I believe he is right. See how easy that is for me to say? It's no problem right now. Let's look at this because y'all appreciate this. Pelicans 6-1 in the month of March, second only to the Houston Rockets. Ime Udoka, well, the way he's coaching, second only to him. Pelicans second best defense since the All-Star break. 107.2 points allowed per 100 possessions. Zion averaging 30-8 over the last four games, 66% shooting. By the way, you ready for this? Do you know that Zion Williamson is on a current streak of having played 14 consecutive games? And by the way, he hasn't missed a back-to-back game all season. It's a big deal. When you look at New Orleans, they've got size, they've got athleticism, they've got shooting, obviously. I look at Denver, obviously, as the favorite. You know they're the reigning defending NBA champions. They're ready. But what are the one of the things that we talk about when we talk about the Minnesota Timberwolves? We bring up size. And the fact that with Rudy Gobert, assuming Cat Williams is able to come back, size is formidable. Well, New Orleans isn't necessarily lacking in that department. Plus, they've got other pieces in place. They've got length. They've got athleticism. They've got some greyhounds. I like what I'm seeing from the New Orleans Pelicans. I think they got a chance to go to the finals.
Stephen A., you mean Cat Towns. Cat Williams can't help. He can't help Minnesota Timberwolves.
Call Anthony Towns. My bad. I'm sorry, Shannon. My bad. Not Cat Williams. Call Anthony Towns.
Freudian slip.
Now, he said he didn't miss back-to-backs. Remember, the back-to-backs that he did miss earlier this season were scheduled. Maybe that's what he meant on that, because he did miss some back-to-backs, but he hasn't recently. And that was part of the plan the team had in place. That's why sometimes you heard him go, you got to ask them. He didn't want to miss them. This was the plan, to get him healthier by the end of the season, and it's worked. But there you go. Welcome to Bizarro World. Because I'm going to play later on the fact that, it's crazy. Talking about the finals and the Pelicans. See what happens. Christian Clark's in Brooklyn. We'll talk to him top of next hour. And hour one is in the books. It was brought to you by New Wake Outfitters, your one-stop shop for all things fly fishing on the Gulf Coast and kayaks. 1926 Airline Drive in Metairie. NewWakeOutfitters.com is the way to go check them out online. When we come back, more Pelicans basketball talk, and I still got Chase Young sound. Don't go anywhere, Saints fans, I promise. Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans.